Is Mr. Robson here now?
Yes, I am.
All right, you may take the chair. Will you raise your right hand, please? You do solemnly swear in a matter now pending before this committee, you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I am here, Senator. I've been traveling a good deal about the country on various missions. I'm an artist, a singer. Also, I've been in the South and the West, all over helping and singing for certain charitable organizations. And coming to the bill, I see first is to protect the United States against so-called American subversive activities. I presume, since the United States doesn't exist in abstraction, that it means the people of the United States. That would be more or less all right, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Yes. I'll get back to other sections of the bill. It says in the section 2, in the second paragraph, that in the question of the necessity for the legislation, that it's necessary to establish and set up a totalitarian dictatorship in any country results from the ruthless suppression of all opposition to the party in power. Is what I'm interested in, this complete subordination of the rights of individuals to the state, the denial of fundamental rights and liberties which are characteristic of a representative form of government, such as freedom of speech, the press, of assembly, of religious worship, and result in the maintenance of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. I have been all over the United States speaking and attempting to speak, and I have been experiencing in our own country today this very thing of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. This is happening in all parts of this land. Now, it seems to me if we're protecting the people of the United States, that these protections are necessary from quite another point of view than I can see in their so-called necessity in this necessity.
Well, do you believe that they are
I'm saying these
entitled to protection even as provided.
I just want to finish my point, and I also again I want to say that it says that
he's the phone man. This man wasn't here. We let him into his place.
The complete subordination, the same paragraph, complete sort of subordination of the rights of individuals to the state, denial of fundamental rights and liberties and so forth. I think that this is a complete, for example, a definition, since our states are sovereign powers, so to speak, except for the rights delegated to the federal government, a complete description of, say, what happens to Negro people today in Mississippi, Alabama, many other states of the Union. And the necessity for legislation, it seems to me, I will go into what I consider the constitutionality, the denial of civil rights under this bill, in fact, to the whole question of the way we have placed this whole question in the bill. But it seems to me that the necessity for legislation that might concern, I suggest, with the committee today and for some time to come, that since in this bill, perhaps hundreds, thousands of Americans would like to speak on it, and that it should, that not only today, but perhaps in the future, there should be opportunity for that. But I am tremendously interested, before approaching in detail this bill, just to ask you a question as to why, in the light of the terror that I've seen and the denial of rights, that the lynching bill is not sort of before the Senate at this time. It hasn't come out of the committee.
I couldn't answer that. I'm personally trying to get it out of the committee.
I think that that if there are any kind of activities that strike at the very basis of our democratic way of life, that this bill certainly should come out. Both parties have gone on record for the civil rights of the Negro people, and it looks as though you might get through without it. So I'm certainly hoping that that this bill will come out, and perhaps even this bill could be put aside for the moment and extended later to see that these rights should be somewhat, should be guaranteed. Now, as for a bill, I see it, the whole question of protecting the rights of the people of the United States, against the background, and the whole question of communism, for example, which is brought in every minute.
Mr. Robinson,
Can I go on with my question? Yes. I'll answer that in just a second.
Are you a member of the Communist Party?
I will answer that in just a moment. Can I go on with my discussion?
Yes.
I will answer that. The whole background, I would say so, I would strike at the very root of the conception of what is in these first paragraphs. World movement with its origins and so forth. I mean, does Mr. Munt, or whoever framed the bill, understand that the origins of this kind of thing were in, say, the English Industrial Revolution and the time of Robert Owen, in the roots of the poverty of England, which it was responsible for the English poor and indentured servants coming to build America itself? This didn't just spring up the other day in some part of Europe, a part of the whole struggle of human beings to improve their lot. One of the most important sections for myself being my own people here, the Negro people in America. So I see the whole framework of the bill, in reality, from my travels about this country and otherwise and about the world, in the framework of what we understand as Americans, of and what we mean by our democratic ways of life here, is expressed in this paragraph, that it means certainly from our own American history, from the beginning of our struggle for freedom from England, down through the Civil War which freed my own people, it means through the New Deal an extension. We mean an extension of the democratic rights and full citizenship to people who do not yet have them. That would include not only one-tenth of the population, the Negro people, it would include, for example, many of the Spanish-American people that I saw in Pueblo, Colorado a few months ago, perhaps living in hovels under the ground. Would include many in the fruit fields of California, in the whole deep south and all over America. But in approaching this whole problem of the struggle today in Europe and elsewhere, what has happened in 1917 in Russia, what's happened in Yugoslavia in many places, it has to do with trying, with millions and millions of people who are denied very basic rights, economic, social, and political, of building, of trying to build a decent way of life. Against it have been many forces, the most important of which we joined hands against, the forces of fascism. Now, in going about America today, I say that those, when I was in Kansas City and I see the police beating workers over the head because they want a decent living, terrorizing Negro people in West Virginia and all over, I say these are the essence of ISIS trying to stop, actually stop the struggle of the people to get the democratic rights which they don't have. And I go so far as to say that I feel, I've been in the Mr. Munt state in South Dakota, I was attacked by him once when I sang there, that in the whole discussion, and we can take it up in detail, of defining what is a communist party, what is a front organization, and what has happened in fact throughout America, where they have terrorized people from joining any kind of liberal struggle.
Right.
Just a second. That this bill seems to me to have as its basic idea not to help the people of the United States or any other people, but to actually stop the struggle by terrorizing people to get rights for Negro people, for workers, and for other Americans who still haven't full citizenship.
Have you read the bill, Mr. Robinson?
I have read the bill.
All right. Now, Section 4, Paragraph 1. The certain acts that are prohibited are in Section 4.
Well, they've been
the other is well. Merely registration.
No, but you can't dismiss the rest of the bill.
Well, I'm not dismissing it. I'm talking about that part.
Yes, okay.
Do you believe that it should be unlawful for anyone to attempt to establish in the United States a totalitarian dictatorship, the direction and control of which is to be vested in or exercised by or under the domination or control of any foreign government?
We have
foreign organization or foreign individual?
We have laws to take care of.
But wait a minute.
Of course not. You think
that that should be the law?
Sure, that's all right. We have laws to protect that.
What is the law now?
We have plenty of laws to take care of any people who would attempt to overthrow this government.
No, but what is
Mr. Hoover can take care of that.
Wait. That's by force or violence, the Smith Act that you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, this isn't by force or violence. You could do it by other means.
What other means, then?
Well, penetration. You don't think that Yugoslavia wasn't taken over by the communists, do you, Mr. Robson?
I certainly do not. I think the Yugoslav, I say this is very basic.
And Czechoslovakia?
This is very, by no means. Let's take Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Czechoslovakia. You can check this up. I happened to be in Czechoslovakia in 1945 singing to American troops at the very end of the war. I, as a singer, was called in by the American military to sing to some Czechs at a big park. And I had been in Prague before the war, and I speak the language a little bit. And I was trying to find out who these Czechs were. So finally, a woman comes up to me and said, I'm Countess so-and-so-and-so, and I met you in Chicago during the war. I said, you were in Chicago during the war, I understand. And I suppose you expect to, and it occurred to me that maybe she was back in Czechoslovakia to get back a couple of those castles, which had been taken away because those who owned the castles had helped the fascists. All I can say is, and I say this, and I can be called up again on this, I felt that I saw the American military, the only Czechs in the room happened to turn out to be Czech collaborationists and Sudeten Germans. And I would say that the Czech people probably made a decision that under no pressure, even American pressure, would they accept the restoration of Czech fascism, that they, if they were made to choose, they would choose the other way. That's the way I would suggest.
So
as far as Yugoslavia, it seems to me, I was in Yugoslavia, and I saw the Yugoslav peasants suffering exactly like the Negro peasants suffered in the South. Only they weren't one-tenth of the population, they were perhaps nine-tenths of the population. And so when we help them destroy fascism, including King Peter, whom we now seem to have in this country floating around, I knew him as a boy there in London, saw him around there, I think that that what has happened in Yugoslavia came from the struggles of the Yugoslav people who, with our help, were able to take the power. And as far as I can see, Senator, they're going to keep it.
All right, Mr. Robson, what is an American communist?
You define that. I consider an American communist. For example, I know one. He grew up with me. We came up together. He went to Amherst, I went to Rutgers. I was interested in that because Judge Stone, I took law at Columbia University. He was the dean of personal property at the time. And he was an Amherst man who played football. We used to talk about this. Now, this fellow grew up with me, was born in Georgia, went through all sorts of, as a Negro boy, injustices and injury to his dignity every 5 minutes. He came north, went to Harvard Law School, and a dear friend of mine through all my life, still is. He is today on the City Council of New York City, a man who is fighting and has made a tremendous struggle for the rights of the Negro people in Harlem and all through the United States. And I know no American that I'm prouder to know, and he is an American communist on the internet. And
all right, now what do they stand for?
What's that? His name is Ben
Davis. What do they stand for?
They stand, as far as I can see, for complete equality of the Negro people in America, which I would like to see in every respect. It might interest me either to know that in going about the country, I asked university students, when did they think that the Negro people would be completely free in America? Like anybody else, not special freedoms, economic, some kind of special freedoms.
No.
They said to me, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. So I'm interested in a party and in people who like in the Scottsboro case, who risk their lives, who make every effort of any possible kind to see that the Negro people secure their rights. So the forces of labor.
Do you think that's what communism stands for in America?
That's what it stands to. It stands for me. Look, I say, that's my basic point, sir.
Well, that's what I want to
My basic out. Point is, but wait, let's just wait a minute. Where did communism come from? I'm taking from the first paragraph. It started against the background of the sufferings of the English people in the mills, in the great industrial revolution, which resulted in the slavery of my people in America. Now, in this struggle, can I say something? In this struggle, as I would put it, of the few against the many in history, that is, why did we found the American government? What happened? Why did Cromwell come over in England in 1620, 1640? Because he said no divine right of kings. And in order to see that in English history, they had to chop off Charles's head. And we had to have a revolution in 1776. We had to have a civil war to see that somewhere people begin to get their rights. So the French Revolution. So I see history as a struggle of the great mass of people to some way get some fair return for their labor and a decent chance to live.
Yes,
now, this is what going on in America, sir.
Yes, but let's get down to what American communism...
Well, I'm saying, to me, they are a part of this whole struggle. The interest, so I can only define it against its background.
All right.
You can't say in one breath, Senator, that it's American communism, an offshoot of Russian communism.
Well, that's what I want to know.
Well, I say, no. What is
Russian under the domination?
I say, what is Russian communism an offshoot of? Did Marx or Lenin or these, did this spring up in, out of the head of Athene? No. These came out of the social conditions of Europe. Now, in England, and communism began in England, not in Russia.
Well,
and let me say, Senator,
are you an American communist?
Well, Senator, just let me finish the point. I'll answer the question. Now, in Scandinavia today, they have decided to solve these problems of all the resources of the nation being in the hands of a few people by cooperative methods. That is, the General Electric, which controls electricity in this country, they more or less put them out of Sweden by cooperative means. In England today, they have taken over the railroads, coal, banks, by socialist means. That is, by public ownership. Now, this oughtn't be any mystery to the American people. We have TVA. New Zealand is a socialist country. This is a part of the struggle of people to get control of some of the wealth instead of leaving it in the hands of a few. I see communism as nothing but an extension of great public ownership of the main means of resources, like the railroad worker said the other day, and the coal mines, if they're that important, Senator, to the United States, that every time there's a national emergency, this is life or death to the American people, doesn't it occur to you that instead of beating the workers on the head, that maybe the government should own the railroads and the coal mines? Well, this is a whole struggle of which communism is a part. This is a part of the conceptions of the struggles of human beings for ages. And you can't move communism out anywhere in the world.
Well, then, do I understand?
So American communism is, you might as well say, what's an American socialist?
Well,
what's an American Democrat?
American communism is part of the Russian system.
No, but do you know that American democratic principles stem directly from the French Revolution and our own revolution?
No doubt
about
that.
They're very revolutionary ideas.
No doubt about that.
They are very revolutionary ideas. In fascist Greece today, these are very revolutionary.
Now, Mr. Robson, let's get down to some of the facts in the bill. Now, I asked you the question, you said you'd answer it. Are you an American communist?
Today, Senator Ferguson, that question has become the very basis of the struggle for American civil liberties. 19 or more, and many of the most, some of the most brilliant and distinguished Americans are about to go to jail for failure to answer that question, and I'm going to join them if necessary. I refuse to answer
all
the
right.
question.
You refuse to answer. You refuse
This is an invasion of my right of secret ballot, Senator Ferguson. If you want to know whether I am, the Communist Party is a legal party, like the Democratic Party, Republican Party. I'm going to vote pretty soon. If you want to send some government official to take my ballot away, a secret ballot, my constitutional right, he can see just what I am.
I see. Have you a communist card in any communist organization, any state, Mr. Robson?
That is, I consider, a part of the other question that I refuse to answer.
Yeah, I see.
And it's a party land that doesn't disclose it.
That's what I want to get
at. Maybe if I were a Republican, maybe I wouldn't disclose it either. I would say, come to the ballot box and see it. I'm not interested in what the Republicans do. All I know, the Communist Party is a legal party in the United States. And making a magnificent struggle on many fronts.
I mean, communists refuse to disclose whether they're members of
it. Well, I say, since you've made, because this goes to the very heart of the bill. I say that this whole hysteria, and the bill is a part of that hysteria, to use this, not only to hurt communists, but really to break the civil liberties of every section of the American people.
Yeah.
The rights of labor, the rights of liberals. This is a very basic.
You know something about the communists of America. You know something about the communists
in America.
I have
many dear friends who are communists. Yes. It's perfectly true.
And you know.
I think they've done a magnificent job.
But isn't, yes. You
That's
think
true.
They've done a magnificent
That's
job
right.
in America. That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
And do you know that it is a fact that they, outside of their membership, decline to disclose that they are communists?
Well, I think that they might be. This can be determined. The Supreme Court's going to have to rule on that, I think.
But no, isn't that a fact that Except among themselves, they decline to make it public that they are communist or not communist.
I would say that if it weren't a basic problem of civil liberties that goes to the very heart of the struggle, and which the denial of these civil liberties, of which I believe this bill to be a part, that's the reason I'm here, this would not be so at all.
Have you ever been to Russia?
Oh, yes.
And have you studied in Russia?
Oh, no, never studied there. I went there as an artist.
You never attended any of
as far as that's concerned, you don't have to go to Russia to read Marx or Lenin.
No, I understand.
They didn't give it to me at Rutgers, incidentally, where I went to college, but I read it then.
Yeah, but you've read it since.
That's right.
You didn't study in any school in Russia.
No.
Do you know
I went purely as an artist and knew nothing about them. My first went 1934, nothing about Russia.
Of the Communist Party in Russia, okay. Mr. Stalin? Do you know?
No, I never met Mr. Stalin.
You've never met him?
I've seen him.
How much time have you spent in Russia?
I was there for over a period, let's say between 34 and 37. I was there 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months. What is much more interesting, I should think, Senator, is that my boy went to school there for 2 or 3 years. My one boy.
Your boy?
Because I found in Russia a complete absence of race prejudice.
Yeah.
A complete absence.
What's the name
of the question? The first time in my life, Senator, that I was able to walk the earth with complete dignity as a human being. So I took my boy there. He's now at Cornell.
Yes.
And let me tell you what happened to him.
What age was he?
He was 8 or 9 years old.
Well, he was just a
boy. Young. Very important age, incidentally.
Yeah?
Very important.
What school did he attend?
We went to a school in Moscow, a public school. Public school.
Yeah.
Now, he's in Cornell. He's been back in America many years, went to high school. But in Russia, I'm not experiencing this race prejudice. Today, in America, going to fight for his people and fight in the progressive section of American life with much easier than I can, for example. Because if somebody would suddenly call me a name here in the room, I don't think I would do anything about it. But I'm sure I'd have a tendency to get up and want to knock the guy down. Now, he has no feeling of any kind of thing, because he knows that he lived in a part of the world where there was no such thing as color prejudice. So he's going to be able to make a very important contribution, I think, to American life.
Now,
this is what it did for him. That's the reason he went.
Do you know whether or not the American communist owes any allegiance to the red flag?
As far as I know, the Supreme Court has been put up only once.
No, I
refuse to pass on it.
No, I'm asking what you know. You've been traveling all over.
No, I don't know. Why would they? Why that? As far as I know, the American communist is interested in improving, as far as possible, certainly, the lot of the people here, of the people who suffer, as well as in other parts of the world where this becomes a struggle.
Do you know whether or not the American communist believe in world revolution?
That I don't know.
You don't know that?
That I don't know.
And do you know whether they do believe in allegiance to the Communist Party or communism in Russia? That they owe allegiance to?
I don't think that. I would say no from anything I know about it. I don't think they have nearly as much allegiance to Russia as certain Americans seem to have today, say, to a fascist Greece, or to Turkey, or to Abdullah, Transjordanian.
You have addressed communist meetings in America, have you?
President Roosevelt gave a definition of this, that of the concentration of power in a few hands in the struggle of the New Deal against the so-called economic royalists, in which he defined this concentration of power as the essence of fascism. I would like Mr. Hoover to be sure he's got Mr. DuPont tabbed and Forrester and the people. This is very difficult because they are our government today. It isn't so easy to get to the basis of what might be potential American fascism. That's what frightens me. And I don't see enough about that in the bill by any means.
Doesn't this bill cover dictatorship, whether it be fascist or communist?
You cannot say that. You cannot define fascism or communism by totalitarian dictatorship. I disagree with this again is misleading the American people. That is, during the wars.
What's your definition of fascist?
I would say, to me, the essence of fascism in two things. Let's take the more obvious one first. Racial superiority. The kind of racial superiority that led a Hitler to wipe out 6 million Jewish people, that can result any day in the lynching of Negro people in the South or other parts of America, the denial of their rights, the constant daily denial to any Negro in America, no matter how important, whoever may be, of his essential human dignity, the thing which no other American would accept. This daily insult to his dignity as a human being. This is the essence of fascism.
But
the most important thing, which is the reason this can be, is the power of the resources of a nation in the hands of a few, in the hands of the few, and the use of the state power, as Hitler or Mussolini or the police in Kansas City, to beat down any attempt to strive toward any kind of democratic rights or freedoms.
Even though that be law enforcement?
What's that?
Even though it be law enforcement?
I say, even though I would say this is the very essence of the thing, we find always that law enforcement in this case is the protection of the property of the few people who are the potential of fascism.
Now, what is the essence of communism in America, in your opinion?
The essence, to my mind, of communism here, anywhere, is this. Every day I read in the paper, what does communism thrive on? All this kind of. Where you tell me, Senator, where would you expect to find a communist? Would you expect to find, say, that Mr. DuPont would be a communist?
Well, I think in America today we can expect to find them anywhere.
Oh, you know. Well. No, I would say that...
It isn't a question of wealth.
Oh, very much so.
Do you think so?
Not a question. I'm talking about not a question of wealth in this case.
Yeah.
A question of wealth where it comes like in America today, as far as that's concerned, where in the end, take the South...
Well,
and the
would you take the South?
You tell me who controls the wealth of the South.
See, you gave me...
No, let me give you the point.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. You gave me the essence of fascism. Now I'd like to have the essence of communism.
Let me give it to you, this came from my experience. I didn't make these things up. So I'm in the South. My father was a slave. A few weeks ago, I'm standing in North Carolina on the very soil on which my father was a slave. Now then I go into the whole history of our civilization, so to speak. 100 million Negroes from Africa torn to pieces and died in the slave trade. On our backs in America, the very primary wealth of America built on our backs, cotton, taken to the New England textile mills. What do we get from it today? Poverty, insult, inferior station in life, no opportunities. Who controls the wealth? A few people. Now somewhere, to me, by whatever means, today, by what, at certain times, like in our own history, these means have been revolutionary. In other times, evidently not. But somewhere to me, communism is interested in seeing that those people who are oppressed, who suffer, that somewhere they represent those people in their struggle toward freedom.
Now that's the essence of communism.
That's what I mean.
And the essence of communism here is the same as the essence of communism in Russia.
I would say it's the same.
Universal.
The essence, it has to do with the struggles of the Russian people against the Tsarist oppression.
All right. It's universal.
That they were interested. Exactly like universal in this sense, Senator Burks. You see, I must stop you from what is an American today? And here's what I mean, an American here. So you try to link every American who believes something with this country or that country. Now, Mr. Marshall is on record today that we are no longer Americans, Senator Ferguson. We are defending Western civilization, whether it's in Italy, Greece, even in Turkey, they've become the great defenders, strange to say, of Western civilization. Now we as Americans today are in a world, some kind of world struggle, which we are no longer Americans, we are a part of the world. So you can't isolate this in this sense. Now I say to Mr. Marshall, and I say as an American, I was in Europe. Now if there are Americans who want to support Franco in Spain, let them go ahead. I was in public in Spain, singing for troops, who were fighting against Franco.
Mr. Robinson,
you understand?
This law
has nothing to do. You can't do it. Yeah. No, I don't say the American communist doesn't. He's an American, as far as I know.
If this law
is passed...
It's like
in Jefferson's time, he was an American, not a Frenchman. That's what I see.
If this law is passed and the Supreme Court holds it constitutional, do you believe that it should be lived up to?
If this law is passed?
Yes. Or any law passed.
I sincerely hope the Senate won't pass it, and I'm sincerely hope that the Supreme Court will carry it out unconstitutional.
But if they do, you then believe that the people should live up to it?
Well, I'm sure that I would live up to it by trying in every possible way to have it taken off the books.
Well, but wouldn't you live under it? Wouldn't you say that it was the law and therefore it was
nobody's
binding
arguing,
upon
nobody's
you?
Nobody's arguing that point.
That's what I mean.
Nobody's arguing that point.
Well, Mr. Foster told us Saturday, Friday, that he would not obey it if it was
law. In what sense would he not obey it?
Just he wouldn't obey it.
I didn't. What do you mean he wouldn't obey it?
Well, I don't know what his thinking was, but he said that he would not obey it. He didn't believe that it should be obeyed.
And he wouldn't write.
You wouldn't register?
Neither would I register.
Well, you would.
If I ran into any organization, neither would I register.
Well, you'd be violating the law.
Well, then you would violate the law.
Well, I would violate the law.
Oh, I see. Okay. So then you would violate the law, and you would feel that you were...
I would really fight it as a real piece of American fascism.
Well, you see, what I'm talking about is after it's declared constitutional by the Supreme Court,
then you
would defy it.
Let me put it this way, Senator. Let's suppose a Frenchman at a certain time is now faced with a law passed by Vichy. Would you expect that Frenchman to observe it?
Under the former Vichy government?
That's
no,
right.
It wouldn't be the law.
Why not?
Because
they were France at that period.
Yes.
But they were the government of France.
There's a new government there now, and they have...
No, I'm not talking about at that time. Would you have expected those men who helped our American boys come up and destroy
Well, is that the way you classify this law?
I would classify it exactly in that category.
I see. Then you would
as a fascist act.
Then you would not obey it.
That's right. As an anti-fascist, I would not obey it.
Now, you recited here that your father was a slave.
That's right.
You are now independent.
Am I?
Independent. Well, now you wait till I get through.
Senator gets his question.
You are independent economically. You occupy a high position in American society. You're proud of it. You've been of service in many ways. Now, that's all been achieved in one generation.
That's right.
Can you think of any other country on the face of the earth where such an opportunity has been?
Yes.
Where is it?
I would say that...
Russia?
Yes, I would say that... Not one.
Now, you don't mean to say that Russian people have any opportunity at all to be anything more than slaves. You said a while ago you approved of communism. Approved of communism for the deeds it's done.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They've liberated the whole people. In many countries.
Liberated the whole people. Yes. They've liquidated them mostly.
No. Not nearly have they liquidated as many as the Negroes were liquidated in slavery, or could be liquidated today in many parts of the South.
Well, now there's nobody being liquidated in America today.
Why should the lynching bill be on the calendar of practically now, anti-lynching bill?
Well, I don't know why it should be.
Why all this excitement about civil rights if they aren't necessary? No, I say that this is not a perfect world, Senator, and there are many ways toward the freedom of people. We do it our way. Other nations choose socialist means, communist means, other means. But we can't. If our way is so much better, let us prove that. One of the first ways to prove it is by making my people free. And I'll answer your question, though I am independent and so forth. I have a debt to my slave father. I have a debt to my relatives in North Carolina who are very poor sharecroppers today. And I won't allow my independence to be used against them.
Your own government.
I'm saying to them that make those 10 million people free, not me.
Not your own government, our government.
Yes.
Freed the slaves.
What's that?
Your and my government freed the slaves.
Well, we did.
As they should have been.
Well, we fought a good deal for our people.
Yeah, all right, we did.
My father's in
Union
Army.
Now, that's been done.
Yeah.
And the sons and daughters
of ex-slaves.
But
they're not free.
I've had an opportunity in this country, the like of which is known to
very few. Very few.
I'm telling you.
Just look all through America and find out that you'll find about 5%, just about a very small percentage out of 12 or 15 million who have done this. You can't judge the Negro struggle by me or a few people. The only way it can be judged is by the great mass of people, and that is the very lesson to me, Senator, of our time. The very way you can understand Yugoslavia, Russia, or China, that they think not of a few, but of great masses of people attaining freedom within a generation. And they have. They have.
You think the Negro race in America today, consisting of about 10% of the population, you
that's
see,
right.
I believe that's the statement, and I guess
just
that's
about
accurate, are worse off today in America than the people of Russia or communist countries. Do you understand by that statement?
I would say that...
Well, just answer yes or no.
Questions don't answer yes or no. I would say from my point of view, the question of human dignity is very paramount. I would say today, let's put it this way, Senator, the way I see Russia, this is comparing it, I see this. You see, the comparison with Russia would have to be made like this. That millions of people, Negroes in America, Negroes in America, there are 15 million, because the Soviet Union is 1/6 of the world. So all of the millions of people, Negroes in America, the Negroes in Liberia, the Negroes in Cuba, Puerto Rico, control...
Well, let's talk about the Negroes in America.
No, what I say, but you can't, because we control those Negroes in Cuba and Puerto Rico, because we own the sugar, you understand? We control Hawaii. We control a lot of colored people outside of America. We own Liberia. Firestone Rubber owns Liberia.
Your concern, then, is with the people all over the world.
That's true, I'm not doing
rather than...
No, I'm concerned.
First consideration to the Negroes and the people
no,
of America.
No. I say, but we are a part of that struggle. We are a part of that struggle. And you, there's no question about it, but I'm only saying in the comparison.
Well, who's making
now, wait, let me make, I say, let me make...
People in the struggle.
Let me make the comparison. Let me make the comparison.
Now, you used to answer my question.
Oh, I'm going to answer right now.
Quite so much talking yourself. Yeah. But, now, who fares better now than the people of America, including the Negroes?
Who fares better?
Yes, or as well.
As the Negroes?
Yes, Negroes and all the people in America. Who fares better than all the people of America, including the Negroes?
Well, what would you do, Senator, if well, any time you walked out of this
world? Well, is there anybody better off now?
I would say that there are millions of people in the world, millions and millions and hundreds of millions better off than me in Mississippi about to be lynched tomorrow morning. Are you kidding?
What do you talk? How?
So you've never feared lynching, have you, Mr.
I don't know. I could.
Oh, no, but you haven't.
I say, but I'm a part of my people. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
Yes.
If I were not only personally interested, I wouldn't be here, Senator. I identify myself with my people.
What
they
I mean,
can
you,
suffer.
You personally don't fear lynching in America.
Well, I've been close to it once or twice, strangely said.
Where have you ever been close to lynching in America?
Well, I've been threatened with death. I've been threatened with death two or three times.
Well, many people have been threatened with death.
I don't know what might have happened. I don't know. I didn't hear it. I was prepared to see that probably it wouldn't happen.
Yes, but I mean, you really didn't have any fear of it.
Well, not lynching, but I mean,
yeah, that's what I meant.
Lynching. But I say, but plenty of other Negroes do. My cousins do every day. That's right. So. I'm only saying, however, to finish your comparison.
Now, lynching hasn't been applicable to Negroes any more than it has been to other people.
Well, I wouldn't go into the facts.
Well, isn't that so?
The history doesn't show it. But let me just finish answer your... I didn't quite answer your question. As to Russia and this country. Senator, if today, you see, there was so-called... concentration of power, let's rule out the word dictatorship for the moment, concentration of power from the top. But within that concentration, everybody was equal. So I could be sitting over there instead of here, if you understand. That I could be anything in the United States that you could be or anybody else could be. That would be comparable to what's happened to millions of people in Russia.
Well, let me see if I understand that. You say that you'd have the opportunity of sitting here.
As I could be anything anybody else could be.
I'd be sitting there or yonder. Who lacks an opportunity for that today in America?
Well, let's see. Maybe we
now, isn't that, I think that's the very tradition of America,
right.
That people
I think it's
may
about to be corrected. I think it's about to be corrected, Senator, through the third party. We're running several Negroes for the Senate.
Yes, that may happen.
That's
that depends
right.
on what people think about it.
That's right. But I say, this is a rather unusual.
You rather expect that to happen, do you?
Yes, I think it might.
Well, maybe it'd be better. I wouldn't know. That would depend entirely upon what people think about it.
Okay.
And the people do have the opportunity to render that verdict, don't they? Now, what...
Well, I say, this will take away a lot of...
How did they have such an opportunity in Russia?
Oh, yes.
Now, you know better than that.
I know that they do, sure.
You get an opportunity to be liquidated there if you don't toe the mark.
Oh, no. This is in the background of the struggle today. But the other important point that I would, that I won't take too much time, is the definition of the power that rests in the Attorney General and so forth to define what is a political communist of front and so forth. These This seems to me to, this is leading to, would lead to tremendous terror.
Of course, he's doing that today.
And what's that?
He is doing that today without a law.
Who's that?
The Attorney General.
Unfortunately.
And there's no right of appeal. This would provide that he'd do it under law and the right of appeal to a court. And it would not be enforceable until the court had an opportunity 120 days after the court had made it a final order.
No, I say, but the whole question of registration, fines, and so forth makes this quite a different background.
Yes.
This isn't
a prepared statement you have, Mr. Robson.
I have no prepared statement.
Oh, I...
No, I have no prepared statement.
I'd be glad to make it part of the record if you had.
No, it's all right. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Well, I just a few questions, if I might, sir.
Yes,
Mr. Robson, I was interested in your answer to Senator Ferguson as to what the essence of communism is.
Yes.
If you had your way about it, you'd have public housing for veterans and for poor people.
Oh, yeah.
Second, you'd have Social Security that really took care of all those who needed help. Is that right?
That's completely true.
Third, you'd enforce the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Act and wipe out these cartels and these monopolies.
Exactly.
That have gone along here for some 50 or 60 years without anything being done about them. Is that right?
That's completely true.
Four, you would be in favor of laws enacting the FEPC.
I certainly would. I think they're very basic to our American democracy.
And you'd wipe out the poll tax. Is that right?
What?
And you'd pass an anti-lynching law that was a real anti-lynching law and could be enforceable against anyone, whether a white man or a colored man or an Indian was lynched. Isn't that right? Now, you said also that you were in favor of nationalization of certain industries. Will you just enumerate those?
Oh, I would think. I say, where these questions arise and where the American people, it's clear to them, like in coal and railroads and these merchant shipping, certain times maybe even the airplane industry, certain things that, certainly atomic power, where it's clear that these are public necessities and national life or death, then it seems to me they should be national.
In other words, if I understand you correctly, you take those industries out of the hands of the few and put them in the hands of the state itself,
exactly.
The hands of the people.
That's
that right?
That's under the law. Hoping that in the guidance of the state were people who understood the problems.
Yeah. Then, next I understand that you believe that under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of this country, that every man, regardless of race or color or creed or language, and this includes women too, or sex, is entitled to equal protection and equal opportunity and similar treatment. Is that right? Yeah.
That's the kind of necessary legislation I would see.
Of course, interrupt just a moment. You'd want this legislation under the Republican form of government.
Surely.
Not as Mr. Foster testified Friday. When I read him a question, he still believed in it, that if he was elected president, it would have to be a communist government and not a republic.
As I say, to answer my question, that would be exactly if the American people elected him to be the president, would be because they expected him to put in those kind of ideas, I presume.
But I
exactly
mean,
like Republicans or Democrats.
You'd want this done under the present government.
I would want it done as the American people would want it done.
Yes, under the American government.
Certainly, if they elected Mr. Foster president, he would be an American president. So however it's done, would be all right with me.
How do you want this done? Do you want it done under our present system? Or do you want a communistic nation to do these things?
No, I would. If it can be done tomorrow, you want to do it, Senator, I'd be tickled to death. I mean, if you can get these things through, please do them fast.
And Mr. Robson, if you had all these things that I've enumerated, you wouldn't have any communist party at all, would you?
Well, I don't know. They might. There would be no reason.
You wouldn't need it. You wouldn't need it, would you?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how. Again, it would depend on other conditions, there might still be some kind of struggle for human rights in which they could take part. I see no reason to not particularly have a Communist Party any more than a Republican or a Democratic Party. The struggle in America. The Democratic Party essentially is opposed. At one time, the Republican Party represents the people, so to speak. One time, the Democrats do. Today, neither one does. So we have a third party that does. And maybe including at certain times.
And I understand you're backing the third party representing the people.
Oh, yes.
You're backing the third party. You're backing the third party because you believe they stand for these, call them reforms, if you want, or these changes that they haven't gotten into the Republican or Democratic Party.
Well, I think they stand for the basic rights and opportunities of the people. Now, I don't know whether they would all stand for all those things that you've enlisted there. That I don't know. I'm not good only myself. I would think that nationalization of many of these things would be very important.
I understand.
But since we feel that expressions and the political parties, after all, are not abstractions. They represent interests of people. There might be many interests in America that still until the perfect world is pretty hard to see. You understand, no matter what how you do it. So the Communist Party still might be able to do a very fine job, even under these conditions, I would say. Especially if the American people elected them to power.
You don't think passing the poll tax and the anti-lynching would do away with the Communist Party in America?
I see no reason why it should.
No.
Not at all.
Socialization of industries would do away with it either.
Why? I see no reason why. I mean, they might want to, the socialization of these things in England hasn't done away with the Labour Party, since they proposed them all through their history. Maybe they want to sort of put them into action. They would probably have a way to do it a little better than other people.
Your familiarity with the Communist Party is such that you probably have an understanding or an opinion as to whether in case America went to war with Russia, whether the American communists would be loyal to the American government or to the Russian government.
I really don't. I would hope by saying today, Senator, this thing comes up, I don't know just why it's thrown out in the abstract. I think that, I don't know, they would say, I would certainly say myself, or who would say what, but I would say that I think we should struggle for peace, wouldn't you? I mean, why do we keep worrying about war with Russia?
Would you fight for America if we were at war with Russia?
That would depend on the conditions of the war with Russia. How the war came up,
I understand.
And who was in power at the time, so forth.
Yes. You would determine then as to whether or not the cause of the war. But if we went to war tomorrow, if our government, our Congress, that is now in session, declared war on Russia, would you fight for the United States?
Say that that's just too hypothetical.
Well, but could you answer?
I would say less than, I would
you
like to say, why can't we tomorrow decide to have peace with every person in the world?
I
would
fight.
Struggle for peace at all points.
Yes, but you wouldn't fight
for
America.
I did say that would depend on the. That would depend on many things.
Yeah. You can't answer that. You decide it rather than your government.
Well, I say, I would answer this way. I say always, I come back, Senator, to the whole basic struggle as I see it in the world today. I wouldn't be the judge. I think a lot of people would be judges.
Well, would the Communist Party be the judge as to whether the Communist members would be fight or not?
I don't know.
Do you know the Communist Party stand on war or peace with Russia as to whether or not, if we were at war, they would wholeheartedly support and fight for America?
I don't know. What is the stand?
What is your stand on that?
My stand, I would put it in this category of facts. From my experience, like today, say we as America support one section of Greece against the other section of Greece. We intervene in Italian politics on the one side. It always seems to be the fascist side instead.
You think we were on the wrong side in Italy?
Oh, unquestionably.
You were for the communists in Greece, Russia.
And certainly, practically everywhere we are. And we're about to restore German fascism there.
But you thought that we were on the wrong side in Italy, and you personally felt that the other side should win. the Russian side.
Yes, sir. So that I would decide this thing in the light of these circumstances. I'm an anti-fascist. At a certain point, I would act like I expected the French anti-fascists to act in not supporting this issue. Understand what
I mean? I understand.
Okay. At one time,
then you would
these are acts of what I say at that time is an American fascist government, then I would not support them.
Then you would not support
them. That's right.
Now, do you mean by that you owe allegiance to any other government?
No.
You don't?
I owe allegiance to the American people. I owe allegiance to the Negro people.
Well,
I owe allegiance to the democratic tradition that extends from Jefferson and others. That's what I owe my
allegiance. Do you owe allegiance
but
to the present...
But that's not a fascist expression of this at all.
Mr. Robson, do you owe allegiance to the present American government? You distinguish there about the people. And you asked me, I think, one of the first things about whether or not it wasn't the people. And I didn't get the significance
sure,
of your
sure.
statement until
I have,
after
sure,
you talked about it.
I have allegiance to my government, sure.
Yeah, you owe allegiance to
sure,
it.
I have
yes.
allegiance to my government, sure.
Well, doesn't allegiance to your government mean that if it declares war, right or wrong, you owe allegiance to it?
I say, if in declaring war this becomes for me fascist acts, then I determine that at the time these acts were done.
I see.
That's right.
So
now,
then,
to my mind and conscience, these are fascist acts. These I will not support.
So then your allegiance
and
is
I say this can be very dangerous today, because I do say, Senator, that there are many powerful forces in this government who I think are the potential American fascists. That's perfectly true.
So then you are going to determine, and you think every man should determine in his own mind
that's right.
as to whether or not the acts of his government is one that he can live up to.
To me, today...
Is that
exactly,
right?
Yes. You know, let me put it. To me today, like we realize that in supporting sections of Europe, we have to support one side or the other. I say, from my experience in Europe, that we are supporting either the fascist side or the anti-fascist side. You understand?
Well, you think there's only two sides to life anymore, and
no,
one is fascism and the other one is anti-fascism?
I did not say that. In certain sections of the world, this is completely true.
Well, where
in
is
Spain,
that true?
This is true. You either are for Franco or you're against him. In Italy, in Greece, this is true. You either support fascist Greece or an anti-fascist Greece. This is so in China. This is so in most parts of the world, strange to say.
Is it
we are making our decisions today. We still have a choice, but we are doing very dangerous things by choosing abroad to support the fascist side.
Well, then you would,
so
support,
at a certain point, this
you would support the communist side in these issues.
It happens to be a pretty broad side in these countries.
Yes, but that's the side you take.
Liberals, I don't know any one country that's just divided into I would say anti-fascists. They include communists and many other peoples.
Well, if there's only two sides, then you'd go on the...
I define the two sides very precisely. I was in Spain, singing to the troops in the Civil War. I was on the side against Franco. I helped the resistance movements in many lands in Europe against Hitler. I'm an anti-fascist. And I would fight fascism, whether it happens to be the German, French, or American species, that's all.
You do that under the banner of communism?
No, I would do it under the banner of being an American and protecting the democratic rights.
You say the American people are not represented, the mass of the American people are not represented by either the Republican or Democratic parties.
I would say that I would say that their interests are not being served. I would say their interests are not being served by either, because the interests of both those parties today are the interests of the few, say, monopolists at the top, whom Roosevelt fought, whom Wallace.
What percent of the registered voters of America belong to the Republican and Democratic?
I imagine that a great percentage of them.
About 88%, I think.
Sure.
And yet they're not represented. They don't represent the American people, and yet they vote for those parties.
I say today that any American Democrat who thinks, or Republican, that if we suddenly get to war to get some oil in Arabia, that he's protecting his interests instead of the interests of Standard Oil in New Jersey, then he better look again. Better look again. No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I say the American people, they're extremely confused, and that this bill adds to the confusion by leaps and bounds. That's quite true. That the two major parties today have long ago sort of gone away from the interests of the people whom they propose to represent. And that's the reason that I say I feel there must be a new force in America today.
And yet they do, today, stand about 90% probably.
Well, that's for many reasons.
The vote.
If they, for example, in many cases, if they want to vote the other way, or they don't know what they're going to do in the booth, but they say they can't have any job tomorrow. You can't stand still, Senator. There are too many people, like the Negro people, who suffer today. We haven't got the perfect democracy, have we? How are we going to achieve it? Other people are trying to achieve it, too. They're achieving by communist socialist means. Why should we try to rule everything else off the face of the earth? That's all I'm trying to say. I feel that we should be pretty reasonable about this matter of fact. Think of the millions of communists in the world. Millions of them in the world, and we can't get along with it. What kind of nonsense is that? They're also trying in their own way to get freedoms for different people.
You don't see in the communist movement, then, a world revolution to absorb all.
No, I don't see a world revolution. I see that I say from the Yugoslavs, they don't have to go to Russia to ask to make a revolution when they're starving to death in the fields and they got a chance to take their plantations and divide them. You know, we just missed it after the Civil War. We were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule. I wish we'd gotten them. We almost did, you know, in the South. Our history would be quite different today. Well, that's what they've done in Yugoslavia. I don't blame them for doing it. Suppose in the homestead in the days of the West that there were no homestead laws. Suppose that like in Hawaii today, nobody could buy a piece of land, for example, owned by five corporations. What would we have done in America? We don't quite know how we'd have. What would we have done? So this is a general picture against which this bill, to me, is a very, makes very little contribution to the world as it stands today, to world peace and to an understanding of what goes on in the rest of the world. This creates hysteria where we should be trying to understand other people.
What's the status of the Russian people, Russians owning land, operating it on their own?
Well, they have collective farms. As the Russian people are concerned, they feel the land is theirs. They're on it, and they own it. State-owned.
They don't own it.
They think so.
They don't.
Okay. Who's our state? Okay. Well, who owns the TVA? Do I own it? My government operates it in my interest. Okay. But a few private guys don't own it. That's just the way they look at it.
Well, you think communism is a better system of government than our own system?
No, I didn't say that. I say that there's no reason to answer that, Senator. I may answer that. There's no particular reason to answer that. What I would say is that there are many ways of life in the world. Social systems, cooperative systems, communist systems. Our so-called private enterprise systems, well, let's see which can work best.
Well, you think the Independence Party, or the Wallace Party, whatever you call it, would better represent the interests of America than either of the other parties?
As I think that the New Deal policies of Roosevelt should be continued.
And that's
right
in accord with the Communist Party.
Well, that's right. I can't help what communists fight for the equality of Negroes. I'm going to get away from the communists, say, because you fight for my equality, I'm going to do with you. That's pretty interesting. Sure, they believe many things, but that I believe. That's fine.
The Communist Party is supporting Wallace.
I think that they are, and they should. Because he represents the struggles of the people in this country, as they do. That doesn't make Mr. Wallace a communist, however.
No, but you do say that Mr. Wallace is carrying on the New Deal.
That's right. I think he is the real inheritor of what Roosevelt was doing, and I think this is the essential struggle in America today. And the best proof is, and this is, again, I come back to the bill. Who were the people who Roosevelt fought? The same people today who control a good deal of the United States government and Senate. That's what makes it a little ominous, as far as I'm concerned.
How do you account for this? That during the New Deal hype, when there were only 16 senators and 88 congressmen in the minority party, that you didn't get the abolition of the poll tax, the passing of the FEPC, and the anti-lynching bill.
Yes, sir.
Have you an explanation for that?
Well, for one reason, it might have been one important reason. We went into a major war.
No. This took place from 32 to 42. We didn't have war until 41.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, how do you account for not getting those laws?
I account for it, again, by great oversight. And
oversight?
Yes, that's it. There were many problems to solve, and it's very regrettable that they weren't. Very regrettable. And that's no excuse for not having them done today, Senator.
No.
That's a very great oversight.
I
believe that Roosevelt, had he lived, would have had to have pursued this very fast to have maintained in any way.
Yes, but they had 14 years.
Okay. We've had the Negro people...
Mr. Wallace was the vice president in 44.
Okay.
He
wasn't running the country, and I say there were many problems. But, Senator, the Negro people, since their emancipation back in 1863, have been waiting for either of the parties to do this. That's the reason they...
Today I hope to let the new party try to do it for them. I quite agree. This is not simple. But that's the reason that we should understand what's going on in other parts of the world. Understand a thing like communism. Because these things haven't been done. That's one reason we should understand them. That people can't stand the denial of liberties forever. And there may be many ways to grab them. In our own way, as I say, in America, it looks as though it'd have to be done in our own way. That's right. But there's no reason to tell the Chinese how they should do it. Against their historical background. What I'm only trying to say is that we should be able not to think that we've got to wipe something else off the face of the earth, but that we can understand it. Because its basic starting point is the suffering and the needs of millions of people who certainly need a higher standard of living in many parts of the world. Now, we're pretty, we happen to be a very favorite nation here. It's been two wars, and I was in Europe. We haven't been bombed out. We are a tremendous industrial machine. China isn't. Compare our position at the time of the great industrial revolution, when England was the great industrial power, and we were a struggling young nation. These things take time in building, so there's no really valid comparison that can be made with many of these nations today. They haven't had the opportunity, and they've had to fight to be alive. Churchills and many people have tried to stifle them from their birth. We even tried to stifle Russia in 1917. And I can see a lot of the things up today as a tremendous fear of people getting real a sort of expression of their needs throughout the world. Maybe the few people who control our cartels want to keep the African people, West Indian people in continued serfdom. Maybe we're dealing with a kind of advanced American imperialism today. I don't know. Looks pretty bad from the surface. Mr. Stettinius, for example, is, I just see, going to Liberia to exploit the rubber in the interest of the Liberians. You think? I hope so.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'd like to ask one more. Yeah. Mr. Watson, I understand you're interested in all humanity, not all humanity.
That's been my experience. I've been around the world, and I've got deep interest in many people. That's true.
You don't believe me. The 400,000 Mexicans in California, for example, should be barred from public schools.
Oh, certainly, as close to me as other problems. Certainly.
Or that the Indians of this country, that are to own this country, should be put on reservations and kept there for 150 years.
Or that there should be any subtle thing which I see growing in many parts of America of a tremendous anti-Semitism against the great people like the Jewish people. It's unthinkable. People who've given us our culture, the very basis of our religious culture and ethics, that there should be this tremendous wave against them.
I take it you're familiar with the treatment that the Japanese citizens got over in some of the western states when the war broke out.
I happened to be there when they took their land away from them.
They had land worth $300 an acre. They had to sell overnight for $8, $9, and $10 an acre.
I happened to be there looking at a lot of these transactions.
Yeah. And you, of course, are
opposed. Whipped up by the Hearst Press there on the coast.
You're opposed to their...
I certainly am.
Some of the kind of treatments they are getting.
I feel that the Negro problem, from my experience, is we are dealing... That's reason to answer the other question. It's not an individual one. It has to do with all other peoples in our land, especially laboring people, for example. You talk about my being independent, but 95% of the Negro people are working people. So when any acts are aimed at labor, this is aiming them at the Negro people, or at the poor tenant farmers and so forth.
I think that you're acquainted with Harlem.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you're also acquainted, I take it, with the treatment of Puerto Ricans you get right next to Harlem.
That's right.
Would you say that is worse, even worse than the Negroes themselves?
I would say that it probably is different.
Yet they're going in there by the thousands, isn't that true?
That's right.
They're coming in from Puerto Rico by airplane, ships, and every other one. As I gather your views, you're simply a friend of humanity.
I would like to call myself.
Yes. And you believe that you can best carry out your ideals by backing the third party.
I certainly do.
And that doesn't mean that you're disloyal to the United States.
I should say by it means
you're in your
I
mind.
Feel that in my mind it makes me infinitely more loyal to the United States.
And you believe that a citizen who stands for the things that you stand for in getting these different... people I've mentioned here, the Mexicans and Indians and Japanese and Puerto Ricans, people who've had that kind of treatment, anybody that backs them is a more patriotic citizen.
I certainly
do. Than one that opposes them.
I certainly do.
That's all.
Thank you. That's all.